Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who calls us to be children of the Heavenly Father, and then, as God's children, calls us to be witnesses to his name to the rest of the world, dear fellow redeemed. So what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm sure when we adults were young children, we heard that question asked of us quite often. Perhaps some of you hear that question asked of you as well. Well, as you go through grade school, middle school, get into high school, suddenly that question becomes more and more important. And our life doesn't seem so certain anymore. When I graduate from high school, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to college? Go into the workforce? Go to the military? Get married? What am I going to do with my life? For us adults, when we look back on those years, we probably remember some of the anxiety that we ourselves felt. If you thought about what school we attend in college, what courses we would take, what career we'd follow. And now as we've gotten older, into the future, we've got different questions. When will I retire? How am I going to retire? Well, long ago, a young priest's kid from a small country town near Jerusalem had some similar questions. I wonder what Jeremiah thought in his questions. Am I going to go to a Jewish school? Am I going to be a shepherd? A farmer? Maybe I'll be a priest like my dad. But none of those things happened. Our text this morning shows there was a special plan that God had in store for Jeremiah. He's a very rare person who doesn't feel intimidated, hesitant to go into the work of the Lord in his kingdom. And that's very proper. For the greatest work and most responsible work on earth is to serve the Lord in his church. In fact, just the responsibility of being a child of God, a disciple of Christ in this sinful world, can be overwhelming if we think it's up to us alone. And so the thought of taking up such a full-time service to the Lord can indeed be daunting. And in fact, the prophet Jeremiah felt that way, as you see in our text this morning. The courage, the confidence, the capability to be a servant of God, a prophet, a minister, a teacher of the Word of God, that doesn't come from within us. It comes from God. So what was it about Jeremiah that caused God to choose him to be a prophet? Was it because of his priestly background, a son of a priest? Was it because of his relationships and connections in Jerusalem? Was it because he was a great speaker? Was it because he had all the tools to be a great prophet? Well, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, you find out that it was none of those things. In fact, as we heard 2 weeks ago in another sermon on Jeremiah, we find that Jeremiah was complaining to God about his dealings of his life and his enemies. In our text this morning, we see that Jeremiah says, "I don't want to be a prophet. I'm too young to be a prophet." And as you heard 2 weeks ago, he even accused God of lying and of being untrustworthy. You think that God would have skipped over Jeremiah and chosen someone else who wouldn't have been as much trouble to him. But why choose Jeremiah? Only one answer. God's grace. God's undeserved love. You know, throughout the Bible, God makes some very unlikely choices of people whom he calls to be leaders in his church. He chose the reluctant Moses, who had run away from Egypt and spent 40 years in Midian tending sheep, and said, "You will be my leader now at 80 years old. He chose Gideon, a man from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe, a very unsure man of himself, to be the leader as well. He also chose Saul, one of the greatest persecutors of the church, to be one of the greatest apostles and prophets to the Gentiles. None of these people deserve to be called a prophet or an apostle to the Lord, and yet the Lord chose them because of his grace. It's not the way in business and in sports. Those who have the most talent, those who have the most drive, the most charisma, the most skill, they're the ones who are chosen for great things, and they deserve that. But that's not how God works. His choice of you and me is through his undeserved love. And that's what makes it so remarkable. What do we read in our text? "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you." Before we were born, God intimately knew us. He knew that we were his sinful enemies, filled with sin, living in our mother's womb. David Cleary tells us that in Psalm 51. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Jeremiah didn't deserve to be called a prophet of God because he was filled, steeped with sin. And you and I don't deserve to be called a child of God either, because our heart is filled and steeped with sin as well. But as with Jeremiah, God chose us by his grace. Through Jesus, his son, he showed us his tender love and mercy by sending his son to live that perfect life of obedience for us, to shed his blood upon a cross so that we can stand righteous and holy in Christ before our Heavenly Father. Peter says in his chapter 2 of his first epistle, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may be proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Think about that. You've been called, I've been called, from the darkness of death and sin and unbelief to the light of Jesus and life and faith in Christ. That God called Jeremiah was indeed pure grace, and a comfort that he would rely upon throughout his many, many times of trouble. And just like Jeremiah, God has chosen you and given us a wonderful assurance that always that we are his children. He already knew you individually before time began. He already knew that you would be called to be a child of God because he chose you in eternity. He already knew that you would be his child, and he called you, maybe not to be pastors or teachers, but he called you to proclaim his word, and that's a calling that we all have. Well, when we see the depths of our sin, when we see our doubts, we see our uncertainties in life, what a great comfort that is to know that he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." You mean I set you apart for me. God has called you. God has called me. Through his powerful word and his sacrament, He's called you and me to be his own children, to be children of Heavenly Father, to live under him and serve him in his kingdom. Despite our weaknesses of faith, despite our sin, despite our wicked ways, the forgiveness and love of the Lord never falters, never fails, because we are forgiven. We are his dear child. Let that be the rock and the foundation to each of our lives. There's another part to God's plan for you and for me. He not only called us to be God's children, he also has called us to, as children, to work in his kingdom. So what's the typical response you get from your child when you say, go make your bed, clean your room, wash your dishes? Is it usually, oh, do I have to? Why me? Can't someone else do it? All these excuses. But those excuses don't just come from little children. They come from us adults as well. I can't do it. I don't have that skill. Why can't someone else do it? How many times haven't we said the same thing? When the Lord calls us to speak to our classmates, fellow workers, neighbors, strangers, relatives, about him, about Jesus. Excuses range from, well, I don't know the Bible enough, or the timing's not right, or why can't someone else do it? Or they're not going to listen to me anyway. So what are we to do? Listen to the Lord's promise that he gave to Isaiah or Jeremiah. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I am with you. The Lord said to Moses and Joshua and Gideon and so many in the Old Testament, I am with you. What was the last thing you said to the disciples after you said, go out into all the world, proclaim the gospel, make disciples of all nations? Before he ascended, he said, surely I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. To Paul, Jesus said too, I am with you. And that promise is made also to us. That promise gave Jeremiah the confidence to proclaim God's word, even in the face of enemies who wanted him dead. It's the same promise that we can cling to when we share God's word with others. And God equips us to proclaim that word by this promise that he made. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now, God doesn't physically put words in our mouth like he did with Jeremiah, giving him inspiration. But he puts the words into our mouths by first putting the scriptures into our hearts. The more we dig into God's word, the more the Lord works through us. When we read the word at home, have our family devotions, here in Bible class, here in church, the Lord is working through us to be proclaimers of his word and to speak his word to others. You know, the more we study his word, the more it becomes part of us. The more we read and study, the more readily it'll come that we'll take out those opportunities to be able to speak about Jesus to other people. It'll become more and more commonplace. And we won't be so scared, so fearful, so not wanting to. The more we study the Word of God, the more those condemning commands of the law crush our heart, and the more the saving gospel message uplifts us. As one person wrote, God not only puts the Word into our hearts for contemplation, he puts the Word into our hearts for proclamation. Now that task of proclaiming God's word, as we know, is not just given to me as pastor or to our Sunday school teachers or day school teachers. It's given to every single one of us. The Great Commission was given to all Christians, to to proclaim the gospel to all people. But Scripture makes it clear that he also chooses individuals to be able to be his called workers in the full-time teaching and preaching ministry of the gospel. And just as in Jeremiah's day, the Lord moves his servants to consider the public ministry of teaching and preaching and prepares them. And he gives them the greatest gift of all, his word. His word. I've told my confirmation children many, many times, the only thing you need to be a pastor or teacher is God's word and love for souls. The Lord will work out all the rest. That word of God, which we have heard as children in a Christian home, in our Sunday school, in our devotions, maybe a Christian day school, ILC, the Lord prepares pastors and teachers through vicarage and teacher training programs to be his spokesman, his mouthpieces, to proclaim the gospel message throughout all the world. And then he takes the person's character, his gifts, his abilities, his personality, his temperament, even his weaknesses, and he calls them and places them exactly where he wants them to go. And thankfully, he doesn't demand of his pastors and teachers to be heroes or geniuses, but he equips them and expects them to be faithful. Faithful to his word. He says to each of them, as he said to Jeremiah, I have put my words into your mouth. The words of the Holy Spirit that pierce the heart, divine of soul and spirit, the words that thoroughly equip Christians for the service of Christ, that reprove, teach, correct, train in righteousness, that make a man ready for the ministry, and a man or woman ready for the teaching ministry in the Lord's church. A little personal aside here. I mentioned this a few times, I think to the confirmation kids. Many years ago, in my first year of college, we had a speech class. There were about 10 or 12 of us in speech class. It was taught by my future father-in-law. Didn't know at the time, but he taught it. We all were going through our speeches. He said, a five-minute speech. And there was one young man who was so nervous and so upset that halfway through the speech, the professor said, you better sit down and do it again. All the rest got through the speech fine. That one young man was me. If you would have been in that class, you would have said, that guy's not going to be talking and speaking in front of people. The Lord uses our weaknesses to be able to do what he calls us to do. So, what sort of service does the Lord have in store for you? You've been redeemed to serve your Redeemer. That's your calling on this earth, whatever occupation you have. But perhaps Jesus intends to appoint you and call you to be one of his called workers as a minister or teacher in the Lord's church. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear. The Lord says, if you desire the calling as a minister or teacher of the gospel, that is a desiring a good work. Is the Savior appointing you as a young child for this service? Is he appointing your son or daughter for this service? Well, then we need to think about that. Pray over that. Faithfully put that into our Lord's hands. And we as members of our synod need to pray for more and more young people to think about the teaching and preaching ministry of the Lord. Long ago, the Lord had a plan for this young man named Jeremiah. Before the foundation of the world, he already chose him to be his child. And before the foundation of the world, he already chose him to be his prophet to do his work. The Lord has the same plan for every single one of you. In eternity, he chose you to be his son or daughter. and then called you in time. In eternity, he called you through his word to be able to use his word, to speak his word by having that word be taught to you. So however the Lord uses you, whether it's to serve the Lord in the public ministry, as a teacher or pastor, or just in your secular day job, know the Lord has already made great plans for you. With confidence, we know that we can do his work, trusting his promises, and knowing that he said to Isaiah, "I will be with you." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.